Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm talking about philosophy, Christian philosophy. I've been on this now. This is into my third week. I know that philosophy is a word that doesn't resonate with a lot of people, but it's talking about the way you think, a Christian way of thinking. And I've been taking a lot of my teaching out of Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil, and he came against them with a way of thinking. He challenged the fact that God's word was true. He challenged their belief about, is God Lord over their life, or were they going to run their own life? And what I've been talking about this week is that Satan challenged their relationship with God. He actually slandered God. He says, God's not a good God. God's trying to repress you and hold you back. You can't reach your full potential as long as you are submitted to God. God is trying to keep you from being like Him. You know, the truth is that they were more like God before they ate of the forbidden fruit than they were after they ate of the forbidden fruit. The truth is that God is a good God. The truth is that God loved them. He was kind to them. He had been gracious unto them. The Lord had never done anything wrong to Adam and Eve. He had been absolutely perfect. And yet Satan planted the seed, and they began to doubt that God was for them. And here's the point I've been trying to get across. If they had really known God better, if they had known Him more, they wouldn't have submitted to this temptation. It was all based on their lack of knowing Him that allowed this temptation to happen. And a lot of people, I've spent the last 2 days trying to really emphasize that we can know God better through the Word of God than Adam and Eve knew God, than Moses knew God, than David knew God, than the apostles knew God before the day that they were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. But during the Gospels, we can actually know God better through the revelation of the Word and the Holy Spirit quickening this and our personal relationship with God. We can know God better than any of these people. And if we would just tap that and draw on this relationship with God, it would make you immune to a lot of what the devil is doing. You know, my own personal testimony, I shared some of these things not too long ago on our television programs during the Destiny series, so I'm not going to go into great detail on this, but I just want to mention this again, that when I first had this encounter with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968, I intuitively knew some things. I knew that God loved me totally separate from what I deserved. And that just lit a fire under me. And I knew that God loved me. I didn't understand it. I had to get a lot of questions answered because I couldn't understand how a holy God could love an unholy me. And it took years for me to get that reconciled. But I knew that God loved me. And I made an absolute commitment of my life to Him. Romans 12:1, I became a living sacrifice. But in Romans 12:2, you also have to renew your mind. And before I got my mind renewed, I was brought up in a religious system that said God is the one that killed my dad when I was 12 years old, that it was God's will for him to die. I was taught that God put sickness and disease and poverty and depression and things on you as punishments to make you better, and that you became better by the more you suffered, which is absolutely untrue. But that's what I was taught. And because of this, I was committed to God. I had experienced His love, and I gave Him everything, and I was willing to do anything. And I went into more detail. I'm not going to go through all of this, but I came that close to submitting to prophecies that were over me about God was going to put me into a coma for 8 years. I was going to be in a vegetative state, and that God was going to use that to break me and to make me better, and then I was going to come out and be this powerful minister. And there were supernatural things associated with that. And I came that close to submitting to it. But here is an illustration of the point I'm getting across. During that time, from March the 23rd, 1968, until this instance where I was having people prophesy over me about me becoming a vegetable, that was in 1972. During those 3.5 years, I had begun to experience relationship with God. And when I read the Bible, it wasn't me reading about what God said to somebody else, even though it includes that in the Bible. It was God speaking to me. When I opened up the Word, I had relationship with God. I had experienced the Word of God becoming alive on the inside of me. I knew scriptures about you have to meditate in this Word day and night, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success, Joshua 1:8. And over in Psalms 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Every single verse in Psalms 119, I think there's 168 verses, every single verse mentions the Word of God in some way and how it'll affect you. And I had begun to experience that, and I was having a relationship with God through His Word. And when these people were prophesying that I was going to go into this vegetative state, the one mistake they made, the one thing that Satan did, I mean, he had me on the ropes. If he had quit right there, I probably would have submitted to this. I would have been destroyed. I'd have never been a minister. You'd have never seen or heard of me. Things could have been totally different. But he had me on the ropes. I was sitting there crying, willing to accept all of this. And the guy who was just prophesying these terrible things to me, he went too far, and he says, "And God is going to shut the Word to you for 8 years. And He won't let you speak, read the Word, speak the Word. He's going to put you on a fast from the Bible." Now, see, I didn't know very much about God. And because I didn't have as strong of a relationship based on the revelation of the Word as I do now, I was willing to submit to God making me into a vegetative state. I was willing to submit to God was going to punish me and break me and do all these bad things to me because that's the doctrine I'd been taught. But I knew one thing. I knew God would never shut His Word to me. I knew that. I knew God. I had relationship with Him. I knew that that wasn't the way my Father was. I knew based on these scriptures. I knew He would never do something contrary to the entire teaching of the Bible. And when they said that, I remember standing up and saying, "This is the devil. I rebuke this. I renounce this. I refuse this." And I walked away. I lost friends. I had to leave that church. I was considered rebellious because I wasn't submitting to their doctrine. But you know what? It worked out for my good. And the reason I was able to resist that temptation is because I knew God. I had experienced God taking the Word and speaking to me through it. I had experienced the Word of God becoming alive. And I knew God wouldn't do that to me. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If Adam and Eve would have had a deeper relationship and experience with God, then when Satan says, "God's not a good God. God's keeping you from eating of this tree because you could be better. You would actually be more like God. You would reach a greater potential if you would do this." The reason they bought into that lie is because they didn't know God as well as they should. If they would have known Him greater, and I'm not criticizing them because they didn't have the written Word. They hadn't had God demonstrate His love through sending His Son. They didn't have the advantages that you and I have. I'm not critical of them, but I'm saying, had they have known God better, they could have resisted this temptation and said, "You're slandering God. You're saying God's not a good God. You're saying that God's holding something back from us, and that is inconsistent with everything that we know about God. He's always been good." And they could have resisted this temptation. See, that's how I resisted these negative prophecies, is because I knew I had experienced God in a way that I knew He wouldn't do things like that. You know, I know my wife in the scriptural sense of the word. I mean, I've had intimacy with her. I know her. I've lived with her now for nearly 37 years. I know her. And if you were to come up to me and say, "Jamie did this and Jamie did that," because I know her, I know what she's capable of, I could sit there and accept or reject what you're saying about her because I know her. If you came up to me and, you know, just said something that was totally inconsistent with Jamie's personality and the way that she is and said that this is what she said and this is what she did, And if it was totally inconsistent with her, I would reject what you're saying. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you were saying. Or you may have thought it was Jamie, but you misunderstood, or somebody misrepresented, because I know her. And I can tell you how she would talk. I could tell you the type of things that she would say. See, when you know a person, it just literally stops you from being deceived about things. But let's say, for instance, I just knew somebody casually. Say that I'd meant them. But you know what? I don't really know them. I don't know how they'd act in a situation. Then you could come up and you could sit there and malign that person. And you could say, did you know what they said about you? This person said this, and this person did this, and this person is trying to destroy you. And if I don't know that person, I would have to entertain the possibility that maybe this is true. Maybe this report that I'm hearing is true. And I wouldn't just take one person's word for it, but I'd go to them and I'd try and reconcile and solve the situation. But I'm saying I might be tempted and moved by what you say about a person if I don't know them. But if I know them, I can accept or reject basically just based on what I know about them. I know that certain things are impossible. I know that this just isn't the way that it is. Now, that analogy breaks down a little bit because people are not perfect in any area, and all of us deviate sometimes, and there could be some exception. But with God, there's never an exception. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it's verse 8. He's the same. God doesn't fluctuate. If God ever showed me His love, if He's ever loved me and if He's ever been kind to me and He dealt with me by grace and not based on my performance, that's not just a one-time deal with God. That wasn't because He was in a good mood that day and He's in a bad day mood today. No, God is always the same. And I know God, and I know that God is a good God, and God only wishes good things for me. So see, when religion starts saying that, no, God doesn't heal every person. Sometimes He wants you to stay sick because He's breaking you and He's teaching you something, and this is God's way of judging you, and this is His way of correction and things. Now, see, that's a misrepresentation of God. Sometimes people will even quote scriptures, but they're misquoting and misapplying them. But see, I've come to know God through the Word in a way that now I can reject that stuff. And when people go to telling me that God is going to put me into a coma because it's good for me, I can reject that because I know better. I know God. And I'm trying to say through all of this that if Adam and Eve had known God, if they had the Bible and if they would have understood this revelation, if they would have had the history of how God has pursued mankind and loved us and has been so good to us, they could have rejected this slander that Satan put out against God, that God is out against you. He doesn't want you to reach your full potential. He's trying to keep you from being like Him. They could have rejected that if they would have known God. They didn't know God as well as I know God, as well as you know God. You know, often people think, oh, I wished I could have been like Adam and Eve. Oh, I wished I could have been like Moses up on the mountain. I wished I could have been like David who knew God. And they go back and talk even about the apostles. But you know what? Through the Word of God, you can actually know God better than those people knew Him through the revelations that they had. The revelation that we have of God today through the Word, if we were to get in there and study this and get the revelation of the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, if we were to really get this revelation, brothers and sisters, you would know God to such a degree that when somebody comes and tries to misrepresent Him, you would immediately be able to reject that. Again, I go back to the fact, you know, I was told that that it was God that killed my father, that it was God's will that my father die. When he was only 54 years old, I just turned 12. And you know what? I knew God in the sense I was born again, but I didn't know Him intimately. I hadn't got a real revelation of the Word. And so, you know what? I just swallowed that. And that influenced my philosophy for at least 10 years until I had this supernatural encounter with the Lord and the Word began to start coming alive and God started teaching me. And during that period of time, I watched people around me die. And I submitted to things. I didn't take my authority. I didn't see the power manifest in my life because I had a philosophy that was based on religious traditions of men who were saying that God is the one who is the author of the tragedy in our life, that God sovereignly controls everything and that nothing can happen but what it's His will. That's not true. That's a wrong philosophy. And if you think that, if you think God is causing all of the deformities, the babies being born with deformities, if you think God is the one that's causing war and the rape and the terrible things that we see in our world, and you could just spend days expounding on all of the ungodliness, and if you think God is controlling all of that, then you know what? You are going to be susceptible to doubt about God, to bitterness towards God. You know, I often hear people say things like, I'm angry at God. And man, I mean, when somebody says something like that, the spirit of slap wants to come all over me, just like, who are you? But it's because of their philosophy. They think God is the one that's caused this person to die. They think God is the one that's caused this financial disaster. They think God is the one that caused their mate to run away and commit adultery, and that this was God's punishment upon them. And if you think those things about God, well then yes, there is reason to be angry. If you think that God just sovereignly is controlling everything that happens in the world, then you know what? You either ought to be angry at God for the terrible mess of things that He's made, or you ought to at least be upset that He is so incompetent and hasn't had a better plan for things. Because I guarantee you, things are out of whack. They are not going the way that God wants them to. But see, that's a wrong philosophy. God doesn't control all of these things. God gave us control. It's us that has turned this control, this authority over to the devil. And it is because mankind is submitted and cooperating with the devil that we see so much bad things happening. And so if you're angry at God, it's because you believe that God could have solved this. God could have kept this person from dying. God could have made this marriage work. God could have healed this person. God could have caused this marriage to, this business to work. And it's true, He has the power, but you don't understand that God only works through us. We have to cooperate with Him. Things don't automatically happen. It's not just up to God. If it was up to God, then everything on earth would be done the way that it is in heaven. There wouldn't be any sickness. There wouldn't be any crying. There wouldn't be any sorrow. If God was in control totally by Himself, not dependent upon having people yield to Him so that He could flow through us, I guarantee you there wouldn't be sickness. There wouldn't be pain. There wouldn't be all of these things. So anybody who ever says that you're upset with God, that you're angry at God, I guarantee you, you got a wrong philosophy. You've been influenced by religion that has misrepresented God. You know, I won't mention the name, but here in the United States, one of the largest television networks in the United States that has far-reaching influence is run by a man who, when he was a child, he and his sister were very close, and she got sick and died of some disease. I don't remember what the disease was. But the Presbyterian church that he went to said that this was God's will, that God is the one that killed his sister. And anyway, this man said, if that's God, he says, then I don't want to serve Him. I hate Him. And over the years, he's developed to where now he's an agnostic. He's not even sure there is a God, but if there is a God, he's against Him. And he has used the influence of his television networks, and by his own admission, he says, I am out to change this Judeo-Christian ethic in the United States because some religious system misrepresented God and said God was the one that killed his sister, turned him against God, and all of these things are happening because of a wrong philosophy, a wrong belief system. And you know what? I can say this, that if I thought that God was the one who killed everybody and caused all the problems in the world, then I wouldn't be so upset with a person who is against a God like that. But that is not a true representation of God. God has now revealed Himself, and through the Word, we can find out that God is not the one that's causing all of these tragedies. God is a good God. Says over in James chapter 1 that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means that He never changes. Only good and perfect gifts come from God. God is a good God. Jesus said it this way. He says, "The thief comes for no purpose except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly," out of John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The devil's a bad devil. God's a good God. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil." But see, there's a lot of people that don't have that philosophy. Religion has actually put forth that if you yield yourself to God, God is going to cause tragedy in your life. God is going to make you sick because He loves you so much. God is going to send you to the darkest part of Africa and take away all hope of ever having any joy and peace. He's going to just do something to hurt you. That's the attitude. That's the philosophy that a lot of people have about God. And if you have that kind of a philosophy, then you are going to be susceptible to Satan tempting you and leading you into things. That's the reason Adam and Eve failed, is because they didn't truly know the goodness of God. They didn't truly know who God was. And I'm saying that this is the reason so many people are failing today, is because they really don't know the goodness of God. Those are strong statements, but it's absolutely true. And I just want to encourage you today that God is a good God, that God loves you, and God wants relationship with you more than you want relationship with Him. We often emphasize how much we are supposed to seek God, but the truth is God is seeking you more than you've ever sought Him. If you would just even slow down and just kind of turn around and give Him half of a chance, God would come into your life in a big way. You could encounter God. And as you begin to start having relationship with God to where you know Him intimately, you don't just know about Him. It's not just you listening to me say these things based on my relationship and my encounters with God. But if you begin to encounter God and have relationship with God, I guarantee you, you would quit buying into the lies of the devil and thinking that if you just had a bigger house, a bigger car, a different wife, a different husband, then you'd be happy. And no, you'd find out that it's all found in relationship with God. Instead of going to drugs or alcohol, trying to get high, you wouldn't have to get high. You would have such a relationship with God, you wouldn't have a need for any of those kind of things. Instead of crumbling every time the pressures of life come against you, you'd be able to overcome all of these attacks because of relationship with God. You know, I'm saying this every way I know to say it. I'm just trying to get across the point that relationship with God is what you need. It's what every one of us were made for. God made us to have relationship with Him. That's God's desire. And He placed that desire on the inside of you. And many times it's perverted and we think, well, what I really want is, I want this lust. I want pornography. I want drugs. I want alcohol. I want all of the things that success could buy me. I want the praise of men. And we are trying to fill these voids on the inside of us with all of these things. But what you really need and what you really want, whether you know it or not, is relationship with God. You get full of God and you don't need to be full of anything else. You get full of God and I guarantee you, your lust for other things will just disappear. It'll be gone. This is your answer, relationship with God. You know, I've got more to share on this. I encourage you to listen in to our program tomorrow. But also, we've got these materials on Christian philosophy. It would be a tremendous blessing and help to you. So please call or write the number and the address that you see on your screen and receive these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The fourth teaching in the CD album, titled Relationship with God, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP4C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to let you know that Andrew's latest book, The Believer's Authority, is available and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. A Spanish version is also available. Visit our website for more information. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that the things that I'm sharing on today's program are what every person needs at their heart level, whether they know it or not. And I'm trying to do everything I can to share these truths with people. I want to thank those of you who have become partners with us. You know, that's how we're able to pay these bills. We spend over $1.5 million a month on our radio and television bills. It's a lot of expense to be reaching 2.2 billion people around the world. I couldn't do that without partners. So for those of you who've already become partners, I want to thank you. If you haven't yet joined up with us, helping us get out this good news, I'd like to ask you to pray about it. We have a number on your screen that you could call. You could require information about different partnership levels, or you could sign up today. Please call that number today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina next week, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Mm-hmm. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October, right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.